Thank you for coming. This is a clinic entitled, what is this clinic entitled?
Creative it's Tools for a Keyboard.
Creative Tools for the Modern Praise and Worship
Keyboardist.
So my name is Steve Barkowski with MAudio. I'm accompanied by Elliot Schnold, also from MAudio. We are based here in Irwindale, just a little bit east of LA. How many of you, and Tony, you've already answered the question. I start all my clinics like this because we got to
get it
out. How many of you are familiar with MAudio and MAudio products? Jake, come on, Jason.
help a brother out.
So how many of you are using MAudio products in the studio? What do you use in your studio?
I don't use a studio. My studio is my home.
My studio is your home. Are you guys using any computer-related type of recording equipment?
No, because I work with a friend of mine.
And what is he using?
He uses the little keyboard, and he plugs it into his Mac.
And like, what is he using to record?
Pro Tools.
Pro Tools. Uh-huh. Good with Pro Tools hardware or with Digi hardware. Very good. Like a 002.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So we're gonna talk about some of the different solutions, some of the hardware solutions, and also some of the software based solutions. Tony came to the guitar clinic where we covered live pretty extensively, and he came to really see the new Pro Tools Empowered in action. So we're going to make sure we cover that and show the ropes on that. Right off the bat, I just kind of want to give a description of some of the hardware that you'll see in this presentation. This is brand new. This is our 88-key Pro 88. We've done controller keyboards for a long, long time, MIDI controllers and USB controllers that can go straight into the computer and trigger sounds either from an external module or from a computer. Last year we released a unit.
And didn't you have a silver one before they came out with this one?
A unit called the Pro 88, which was the silver unit, which was a straight MIDI controller, didn't have sounds in it. It was just a controller to use via a module with.
So that's been discontinued. And
No. That's still up and going. And the big differences between this unit and the Pro 88 is this has guts in it. It has sounds built into it. So you have 14 really nice the sounds that any piano player would really really go after. And it also has a USB connectivity with the keyboard as well, which reminds me, I've got to make sure. Connected via USB, or my presentation is going to come to a grinding halt when I come to the controller part of it. But the big difference between the two units is that the Pro 88 was a massive control surface too, so you had a lot of faders and knobs that could be assigned to different parameters via software and control all that with your master board. This does not have those knobs and faders. But it's more designed to be the perfect gigging keyboard with the sounds built into it, and also a great way to just go USB into your computer and have some a great sounding.
Okay, so this doesn't have any of like the slider controls.
Nope. This along with an external like controller, what I'm using here, the trigger finger, which I'll use to program in some drum sounds a little bit later, has some of those faders and knobs in it as well. But if you're doing a lot of CC control of your software, then the Pro 88 would be the better solution.
Yeah, you still want to go with this, all right? I would use those, you know, for drum bar settings.
Right, exactly. Which the Pro 88 is just killer for that. So then we also have another external box called the UC33, which is about the size of the trigger finger, which is just the faders and the knobs. Mm-hmm. So you could have like a little UC33 mounted up on, say, a Pro Keys 88 and do your draw bar settings and record V3 in that as well. So first thing that we're going to do, we'll take just short tour of the Pro Keys. Pro Keys is really, really easy to get through because it is basically just what it is. 88 keys, it has a really nice action to it. You have 14 sounds. 64 megabytes of sample memory on it. What really stands apart on the Pro Keys is that they put the emphasis on the sounds that everybody uses. Rather than loading the keyboard up with a bunch of sounds that you may use once in your life, you know, they really went after great sounding piano sounds, really, really good traditional Rode sounds, and that's essentially what you're getting with the unit. So let's take a listen to some of the sounds that we get. Piano, the standard piano sound, there's two of them that you get on the unit. This is the really nice velocity curve and a really good sounding piano in general. The one that I like actually is piano number two, because it's supposed to be the brighter, poppier piano, but it has a little bit more darkness to it. Traditional suitcase sound rather than cheesy. There's some cheesy DX sounds on it too, but the suitcase sounds on it is pretty nice. Here's the road. Take the chorus and the reverb up. That's like the only thing that I, you know. Well, that is. Just straight tremolo on it as well. Whirly for all your favorite Supertramp songs, which I know now. I think that's just E minor. Then you have your DX Rose. Clab is really nice. Got some really nice pickups. The organs are what they are. They're not, there's no Leslie control on it, there's no like rotary. So you pretty much just get like the standard organ that you would get on anything. Really bad tremolo that should never be used. string samples are really nice. Some soft bowing that you can hear within them. To do layers is really, really, really simple. You just hit a button that says layer if you're on a piano sound here and you're playing. You want to bring in a layer, just simply hit it, and you have a separate layer control as well. And I really, really dig the pad. The warm pad that they have on there is probably my favorite sound more than the string sound, because it's almost like a soft little string section that they have going. So out of the sound set that's on the board itself, they, you know, really went after some really good usable sounds that you can use within praise and worship setting or a gigging setting or whatever. The other thing that's nice about it is it's very easy to switch back and forth playing the sounds that are on the board itself and then triggering, say, soft synths. So what I'm going to do here is with Ableton Live, I'm going to pull up Keyrig, which is an M-Audio plugin, which is basically four instruments in one little rig, and it functions as a virtual instrument that can be controlled from a controller keyboard like this. And I'm going to show you how easy it is to switch between the two instruments. So we'll pull up the Keyrig on track three. We'll open up the GUI. And this is basically what you get. You get a module, it's a stage piano module where you can get your Rhodes and your pianos and your Whirlies, and then you have a synth module, a general MIDI module, and then the organ module, which is a really, really good sounding organ module. So let's just mess here with this first module, the stage piano. Now right now, Now you have, gotta take this off. There's just a button here that will toggle between turning the USB MIDI function on and off. So right now it's off. And let's bring Keurig up here. Drag it over a MIDI track. Open up the GUI. So here's the piano sound on the Keurig. Pitch, the Leslie is built into the rotary speed is on pitch bend, so take off my wedding ring to do that. So let's move here to classic B.
Speed and rise and fall time of the Leslie effect adjustable?
This, as far as the
right, rise
between
and fall time.
slow yeah. And faster, the rate is goes in between.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You see, there you can assign it to go slow or fast. Huh. So let's check out a couple more of the presets on there. See a nice little gospel scheme. So that's really the strength of the Pro Keys 88, is just the ability to have really cool onboard sounds and to kind of go between the, you know, some really, really great soft synths on your computer as well, if you're running from your computer. Let's go to Pro Tools Empowered. Pro Tools Empowered is obviously Pro Tools software that is compatible with M-Audio hardware, either the standalone FireWire units or PCI cards. Just Pro Tools LE, basically, 32 tracks of audio and 256 MIDI tracks, all of the features that you would expect within a Pro Tools environment. Advantages of Pro Tools is obviously, you know, just great compatibility between other people using Pro Tools systems. If you're working with somebody else that is running a TDM system and you have an LE system, then you have complete like compatibility with whatever projects you're doing. Another cool thing is everything is stored on your iLock, so this becomes sort of your, you know, unlock or your installation for using Pro Tools. So I can just plug this into my USB port. We'll pull up a Pro Tools session. For Pro Tools to start up, it would need to see the hardware, in this case being the FireWire 410, and it would also need to see the iLock account too. So right now what it's doing is pulling up my authorization. And I basically start with a blank screen. How many of you are worked in Pro Tools environment before? Is that your main environment that you're working in, Jason?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you're using 002 or?
At the studio?
You're using TDM system, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm using
how many itself?
I'm using the Neural Aptitudes, actually.
Ah.
Self-phenomenal. Yeah, I know it's not the company line, but
sounds great. So, just quick up and running with Pro Tools, what you do, it's Tony uses Logic, so he's used to a Logic environment. Nice thing about Pro Tools is pretty much everything is done in two windows. So to get up and running, want to start a new session is the first thing that you have to do, which has always been one of the kind of the sort of complaints against Pro Tools is you always have to like do something to get a screen going. But once you're used to it, then it's set. So you would say set, you know, whatever. New session here. Set your bit depth and all of those type of things. Last use, sort of set up. And of course, you can have a template that you've been using. So now, what I have is I have a new session, and I have two windows. I have my mix window and my edit window. So both of them are going to be pretty blank at this point. And to start new tracks, I just basically need to add new tracks. To new tracks, and it pulls up a window that allows me to specify what tracks that I want to have in there. And again, most people that have it already have their template set up with mono tracks and audio tracks. So here I'll just set up two MIDI tracks, and we'll set up two audio tracks, and we'll set up one stereo audio tracks, and we'll set up two aux tracks. So we have that created in our mixing tab, and then we can go very easily between the two. Here. So, Elliot, help me out here as far as I'm going to plug in a key rig here on my aux track, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to load in my plugins. All my plugins are inserted on the top upper part of it. And I have all of my soft synths represented in the instruments. So I'm going to pull up here my key rig. And then I'm going to route it to a MIDI track. Elliot?
Take a MIDI track and put your input from the it'll say predefined, and you're going to find your Brokey's 88.
Okay.
And then the output you're going to want to route to the you'll find key rig in there if you go up and right there. And then record enable that MIDI track.
So that's the way we'll set up a soft synth here. And let's do one more here on this track. We'll set up the drum and bass rig. Drum and bass rig is very similar to the key rig, except it kind of completes the picture. So we'll set this drum and bass rig up here. So what I have in my drum and bass rig is four modules, again, this just like the key rig. First module is a loop-based creation device, which is good to get some foundation to compositions. So I can select any number of styles to work with here, R&B or reggae or hip-hop. And on each of the keys, I have set loops. that I can kind of curve. It's sort of like the idea of the Dr. Rex player for those of you that are used to working with Reason. Nice thing about this is I can record these, stack ideas on top of each other as, you know, as the loops are playing. So it's kind of a performance-based sort of loop creator device. And I also have a lot of power between these individual loops. If I bring up one of these, say, like, just using this as a simple foundation, I can go back here and say, maybe play just 16th notes, which it's doing right now. Or say I wanted to take the subdivision down to 8th notes. Could put that going like that, all the way to just half notes. And what I like about it is it makes the waveforms disappear as you're doing that. So put the 16th notes back in. I can swap it around. Basically turning the beat around if I want. So I can take like a simple loop and make it into a lot of different things. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to record that first initial loop to work off of in my record mode. And I'm going to do that. If I can move back to edit. And I'm going to record. Control click.
Yeah. No, maybe it's command click. I'm so used to doing it on PC.
Like that?
There's a way to, yeah, there you go.
There you go. Okay.
Maybe that should free it up.
So now, after the fact, I can go here with the MIDI, editing here. Blow this up a bit. Let's see. How do I zoom in?
To the left, where it says notes.
Notes.
Click on that arrow.
Jump
screen or whatever.
And we're gonna move this to. And I want to expand the measure view here. Up here, so I can see the higher subdivisions.
Oh yeah, just go up and wide, just zoom in, just normally zoom in on the thing, go up to the magnifying glass, but just to the left of it, see that arrow that's on the right?
Uh-huh.
No, no, the one that's to the left, but it's pointing to the right?
This?
Yeah, right there, click on it.
There we go.
Yeah. And also click and drag.
Drag this here, and we're going to get rid of this note altogether. And then let's set this to go a little bit longer there. So now we got that going, and now what I'm going to do is actually create another MIDI track to play off of that drum and bass rig. So we'll go to new track. We'll create one new MIDI track, create, and go back to my MIDI track that I just created and route it the same way. So I'll do the pro keys, all channels. I'm going to route that to my drum and bass rig, but this time I'm going to route it to channel 4. And we'll go back to my drum and bass rig. And I have my bass guitar sound here on 4. here to my edit view, and I've got that recorded, that off record. To set up a track for recording audio, same type of fundamental. You just alternate back between the two windows. You take your audio track here. You set it up the same way that you would set it up within live when we were showing it. You have your mono tracks here. This is a mono audio track, so I have basically my interface channel 1, channel 2, channel 3, channel 4 to work with. And then I have analog 1 and 2 to work with, as well as 3 and 4 to work with. As well, and I can be recording within that environment too. Grab your guitar here, quick, Elliot. Let me give you a bass line that doesn't suck as bad as that to record over. And we'll record some audio in here and talk about just the ease of recording audio and moving and manipulating audio. Straight out of the black box here.
Mm-hmm.
And set this up to record on a stereo audio track. So to do that, I'm going to have to add a stereo audio track, go new track, select stereo, select audio track, create it, go back here to my mix, set to receive 1 and 2. Back to my edit window, same type of process. On for record.
Ooh.
It's nice. Let's try. that piece of audio. The reason why we're getting the Snapple is because the one of the cords was hanging out. That's why we have mono half of it and the other half not so mono. So Elliot, do you want to show real quick just some of the editing capabilities on working with audio?
Yeah, the track that Elliot just did on the lower section there, that's an actual sample waveform there, while on the top of it is the MIDI data.
That's right. And Pro Tools, like Live, one of the advantages is that you have the capability of both doing virtual or MIDI tracks and as real audio tracks as well. And they can all coexist in the same environment.
Well, one of the things I like to do, easy feature that's available in Pro Tools is if you want to just focus on one area to edit, you can make a selection, and if you have, key focus mode. If you have that selected, then you can hit the letter E, and it'll zoom to your selection, and you can toggle. So if I know that I want to get something from, just in this section here, if I want to go bar 9 to bar 11, and I really want to see what I'm doing, and just hit E, which is a really cool, one of the many cool little shortcuts that Pro Tools has to make things easy to look at. You can make your waveforms bigger to look at. Let's see what this is. Basically, let's just do a real easy editing function by getting rid of everything that happened before bar 10. You just highlight selected and you can hit delete. Because that's where the chord was going wonky. Tools is this thing called Tab to Transient. This right here, if you have this highlighted, is a new feature in Pro Tools called Tab to Transient. You can hit the Tab key and it'll automatically find the next transient. So if you have to do a lot of audio editing, this certainly makes it a lot easier. This was pretty close to bar 16. If you hold Shift down, hit Tab again, you can just keep tabbing the transients until you get to about where you want to be, which is there for me, and I'm going to show you something called Beat Detective, which is a really, really, really helpful thing.
See what?
Yep, Pro Tools Empowered includes Beat Detective, which is really, really good. You go to Windows, it says Show Beat Detective. You can also get there by hitting Command 8. You go to Region Separation, because what we want to do is we want to cut this up and really easily edit my performance so it's dead on, locked to the grid. So what I'll do is I'll say capture selection, analyze it, and then you just drag this, which is also kind of similar to
recycle, to
doing something on recycle, creating a Dr. X file. Sometimes it can get some transients that you don't want it to get, and an easy thing to do is just make sure you have your hand tool selected, go down to the transients you want to get rid of, and what is it on the Mac? It's Alt. And you just click on it, you can see the little minus sign appears below the hand there that I'm using to get rid of stuff here.
And why would you use Beat Detective?
For a guy like me who doesn't necessarily have the best timing, it's a helpful, very helpful thing. It can do some weird stuff sometimes if you don't have it analyzed properly. Another, if you have the hand tool there, you can also just drop that there. And then once you kind of find all the transients or you find the beats where things are happening, you hit separate, and it automatically will give you all these individual regions. Now when you're working in Pro Tools, you have all your audio is separated into regions, so that you can see, you can select all these regions independently of each other once they've been separated. If it's one big file or one big region, if you record continuously, it'll be one big region until you start editing, and you can cut them up into separate, unique regions. So now that I've done that, I just select them all, go back to region conform in my Beat Detective window, and I will say conform. It automatically put everything to the grid because I'm in grid mode. And you can see if I zoomed in one, I'll do one more thing in Beat Detective. Anyway, it moved all these regions. You can see here this. I'm going to use my smart tool. You can see that it moved it over to be on beat. What is that? That's on beat 2 of the bar 16. So you can see this separation here. You can see that it shifted all these things around to move where I had made those cuts to be on the grid. So the last thing that you can do, I mean, you can do a lot of stuff, but the last thing I'm going to show you is once you do that, you can do this thing called fill and crossfade. And what that'll do is if there's a space in between your two audio events or regions, events is probably your Cubase or new end user, sorry about that. Take your region, there's a hole right there. When you say fill and crossfade, it'll not only put a crossfade between each of your regions so there's no pops, but it will also, if you say fill, it will pull any region over to the left. And then you just hit the smooth button, and you can see it kind of pulled that area together, and now it's put crossfades on there, and it's so small that you won't be able to see it unless I were to zoom in really far on it, which I could do. And you can see as you zoom in, put a crossfade there for me. So in the past, when I was working in other audio applications and I had to do a lot of editing, which is prone to happen when you're working with musicians who aren't always the best, I would spend hours editing, hours and hours. And a lot of it was just finding little pops and clicks and dropping a crossfade in. And just being able to select across all my edits that I've done and just hit one button and say, apply crossfades to all these regions that are separated is such a time saver. I've edited bad drum takes into something like really, really good. Something that would have taken me probably 3 or 4 hours in any other application. I've been able to edit a drum take in about 20 minutes or half an hour, and it sounds unbelievable. And it's just so easy. Beat Detective is the coolest thing. Perfectly on an upbeat.
the audio editing capabilities within Pro Tools are just what everybody tries to strive for in most of the other applications. Even Logic has gone. And Logic and Digital Performer, I think, made the most noticeable changes in their like audio editing features to bring it closer to what Pro Tools has always been.
I'll show you one other little really fun thing you can do, which I love doing. I think there should be, in every multi-track project, there should be one track that's got something reversed. I'm a big believer in the reverse. So it's really easy. There's a lot of really cool effects in Pro Tools that it comes with. Pro Tools Empower ships with a bunch of plugins included. And you can apply stuff. You can throw stuff in the mix window, which Steve was showing you the mix window. How are you getting there, Steve?
What's your keyboard Apple, shortcut? Open Apple.
So you can see that in any of these, he's got on these aux tracks, he's got these plugins. These are the virtual instruments, the key rig and the drum and bass rig. On audio channels, you can also throw in all these other plugins. And those will be processed in real time as if you were working on a large format console and you put something on an insert. You can also do it on aux tracks and you can send them on auxiliaries. But with the audio suite, you can actually just apply them, and any RTAS plugin that is available to you in the mix window is available to you in your audio suite. Other reverse, it's got other stuff like gain, normalize, all the typical stuff that you have in any application, and it happens really quickly, and there it is, it's already reversed by the track.
Do you have any other
Heat Detective is just...
Do you have any other general protocols questions as far as getting up and running?
Well, I'm not far enough up and running, but, you know, like changing the timing and pitch of recorded audio, like the other one, was that...
Yeah, it actually has, let's see here, it works a lot differently than live does. Live is a little more, the reason it seems maybe a little easier to do it in live is because it's designed to be done on the fly, and it's done in a performance environment, so it feels like you're getting there quicker because, you know, you're getting your hands dirty and doing it. Whereas this, there's a little bit of head scratching sometimes, but there's the... tool here, which is called TCE, time compression and expansion. So if you want to be able to time compress or expand something, I can take this, put it back to the grid mode. I can move this over. As you've selected, that's the thing. If you have fades on a region, there are a lot of stuff that will prevent you from doing. So you can just go up and go to the fades menu, delete your fades, and then it'll allow you to do whatever it is you wanted to do. Usually don't apply your fades until after you're done with all your edits anyway. At least I don't, and I think most people work that way, so it's never really an inconvenience. But let's see, I'm taking this from here to here. Should effectively make this twice as long as it was before. And you saw how quickly I did it. As long as things are tracked on the grid, and you've edited things to be on the grid, you should be able to say, well, this thing was a measure, and I want it to be two measures, or this thing was happening, the length of this note is a quarter note, and I want it to be longer, or whatever, you can do that. So let's see. I stretched it pretty long without creating too many artifacts. There are settings for the TCE tool. You can use different algorithms. There are certain plugins that you can purchase that are third-party plugins that are also designed to do that. And I think all of them, if not all of them, most of them definitely integrate directly into the TCE tool, which is basically your trim tool. You can basically hold down and you can say, I want this to be time compression expansion when I use my trim tool. And then there's, I'm not sure exactly where it is because I haven't looked at this in a long time, but there's something that you can do, I think it's in preferences, where you say, I want my TCE tool to use a different algorithm, and there are a couple different options. And then you can do your time compression expansion without using the TCE tool. You can actually do it from within the audio suite, and actually there's a lot more parameters that you can control. So.
But live is definitely set up to do what live does.
The great thing about it, though, is you can rewire live directly into Pro Tools. So if you have both applications, you say, look, what I need Pro Tools because I'm going to be tracking this group. I'm working on this project. It's going to require a lot of editing, and eventually I'm going to take it to this big world-class facility. We're going to go to LA and mix this thing, and it's going to be, you know, a real thing. So to have it in Pro Tools already is a real, real big advantage. It makes things a lot easier. I've transferred files back and forth between different systems, and it's a lot easier if you're just starting in Pro Tools. But what you can do is, if you have something that's in Pro Tools and you want to change the pitch or the tempo of it, you can basically take that audio file, and if you look at the mix window here, you can see that you can actually bring up... Ableton Live, see, as a rewire channel directly into this auxiliary track. So if I clicked on that right, I'm not going to do it because there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't want to mess up this project. But if you did that, it would actually automatically open up Ableton Live, and then it's basically routing the audio from Ableton into this auxiliary track. And you push play, and they will sync up together. They will play back together perfectly. And then you can apply whatever you want to those audio files for your tempo and pitch stuff. And then once you do that, then you can actually record it as an audio track in Pro Tools, back onto a track, and then you're still self-contained within Pro Tools.
Yeah. More and more, we find a lot of people, like, Ableton and Pro Tools is the 1-2 combination that more and more people are utilizing, just because there's overlapping characteristics of Live with Pro Tools, but there's things about Pro Tools that shine with, you know, like the editing capabilities. If you're doing heavy duty editings, you're doing crossfading, and you know, you're having to do splices and things like that, Pro Tools is still by far the easiest and the most time saving environment. I found a lot of times that I work with Ableton initially to start a song idea, to get ideas going, and then once the structure of where the song is going, and I have a group there and I'm recording, I'll go into Pro Tools to record it, and then to actually take the next step to leave, you know, the studio and get it so it's being able to be performed on stage, I go back into Live. So I have that sort of methodology in what I use. Everybody has different methodologies, so. But more and more we find people like everybody from Jason Halpert to Crystal Method to, who else? The Dust Brothers. All of them are incorporating that Ableton Pro Tools combination with just the strengths and the weaknesses that you described.
I'm going to give it back to Steve real quick, but the last thing I'll show you is there's a ton of editing features. I mean, probably more in Pro Tools than in any other application. So I can't obviously show them all to you, but I showed you a few. The last step you're going to do usually when you make an edit, once you know your edits are where you want them to be, you basically select all the audio that's in that one track that you want to basically say, I'm happy with my edits, that's my track. You select everything, and you go to the edit window, and you select consolidate selection. And you click on that, it'll take everything that you had selected, and it'll create it as one audio file again. So now, if you didn't want to bring it into some other application or do something else with it, it's one audio file as opposed to all these other audio files that only Pro Tools can reference as, you know, your edits. So that's editing in a nutshell.
The Pro Tools environment. The nice thing about Pro Tools with the M-Audio hardware, more so than in the past before, is that M-Audio hardware gives you the advantage of having a lot of different options. You know, like FireWire 410 is a mobile device that can be powered from your laptop, so you can be running Pro Tools and recording mobily. The Ozonic is a keyboard, 37-note keyboard controller with audio interface that's compatible with Pro Tools, so you have a complete workstation environment that you can use with the Pro Tools. In the past, it's pretty much been Inbox, 002, or 30, or Debt.
Break your pinky bank.
So that's very nice, the options that are now open as far as using Pro Tools. So I want to real quickly cover some things in Live. And Tony, these will be things that we covered in the last session, so if you want to stick around for it, you can. Just leave. So what we're going to show now is taking from a Pro Tools session into a Live session and using it from a Live standpoint. I'll show you two things. The first is a project that Elliot brought. And this was a project that originated in the Pro Tools session, and then the audio tracks were brought over into a Live setting. So to do this, I'm just going to add audio tracks into my Live setting. A lot of this stuff is the same fundamental things that we talked about in Pro Tools, adding tracks. Live, you can add as many audio tracks as you want and as many MIDI tracks as you want. So there's no limitations. It's just pretty much your processor. So what I'm going to do within Live is set up a little bit different way. I can access all my pre-recorded audio files from the browser menu here. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to access this song, Fragile Moon. And what these are just audio files of the bass guitar part, the acoustic guitar part, the electric guitar parts. And these are just rendered from Pro Tools. I'm just going to drag them into my Live session here. I just drag and drop these clips one after another so that I have them all playing at the same time. This window is a little bit hard to get used to because a lot of times when we're working with DAWs, we're used to seeing the tracks running down vertically. And in this, we're actually seeing the tracks running across horizontally. this is what we started off with, and this is just pretty much all of the, let's see, I have A, B, C, and T, Vox, background vocals. This is my session that was exported from Pro Tools.
You're the one who holds all mysteries, the giver of all dreams, and when all is overwhelming, you promise peace. So I put my trust in you.
So that I can make them use in a live type of praise and worship setting where I can take some of these production tracks that were recorded in the studio and make use of them from a live standpoint. So to do that, the first thing that I want to do is I want to take this long, these long audio files that I have now and make them into song sections, which is very, very, very easy to do. I just simply have to decide where my song sections are. So, for instance, I have four beats of silence here with these particular recorded tracks. And then I have four bars of introduction.
You're the one who holds all mysteries, the giver of all dreams. And when all is overwhelming, you promise peace. So I put my trust in you.
Bars of a vocal introduction, so pretty adherent to four bar, eight bar structure. So to do this now, all I basically have to do is go into my individual files, and I'm going to cut these apart. So I'm going to take the guitar B, which is pretty in all the way through the song, and make several copies of it. And I'm just not duplicating that on my, it's still just the one single audio file that was on my computer, and I'm just making several references to it. So now what I can go back on these references and actually tell the reference where I want it to start. So for instance, this is a four bar section that starts on bar 5 and ends in bar 9. And I want this entire second row of files to just basically play that section. So we'll do and we'll copy this over. I'm going to copy this part over to all my tracks. And then on top of those tracks, I'm going to go back and I'm going to pull my acoustic guitar part, and I'm going to drag that and drop that in this window down here where the edit is already set from bar 5 to 9. So that's set. Then I go over to my bass and do the same thing there. I go over to my background vocals, drag that background vocal file into there, go into my lead vocal, drag and drop that into there, and this is my guitar A, so I'll do the same thing here. Guitar B is already set, and I just got two more to do, guitar C and guitar D. So it's a bit misleading now because the names all say guitar B, but in actuality, it's still acoustic guitar. It's just a little intro for acoustic guitar now. And this is still the bass. It's just that I've narrowed it down to bars 5 through 9, which is the intro. And now I can play this. I'm going to hear a tad bit of vocal pickup because it's the pickup into the next section, but in practical use, if I was going to use these tracks in a live setting, I wouldn't have that lead vocal going anyway. I'd have my praise and worship leader that's doing that, so I can pretty much mute that altogether. So this is nice because I've taken this track, this complete track, and now I'm starting to consolidate it into sections of my song. So once that I do that, Now I probably would have something that would look like this set here. And what we're looking at here is basically still the complete track with the four bars of silence in front of it.
You're the one who holds all mysteries, the giver of all dreams.
And then I also have separated into sections. Guitar, intro. Vocal pickup here. Going on to the next section.
You're the one who holds all mysteries, the giver of all dreams. And when all is overwhelming, you promise peace. So
how I would use this, let's mute this vocal track altogether because it makes a lot more sense. I can have this interlude vamping however long I want, bands playing over it, and then bring it into the next section. The other thing that's nice about this is that this loop wasn't in there actually. This is the original, how the verse sounded from the render tracks from Pro Tools.
You wait the morning sun. Spread a smile upon.
But because Live does such a good job of making, you know, recorded tracks and loop tracks and virtual information coexist together, I can go here and browse through loops all I want to see about things that might sound good and like remix the track on the fly. So let's go to my loop data.
Spread a smile across his face.
Depending on how aggressive I want the remix to be. I can take that shaker track and just drop it in there. And add that in. If I want it to be a little bit more aggressive. That makes it really, really easy to do. See you, Tony.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Makes it really, really easy to do some remixes on the fly. Now, let me show you how this would be incorporated really easy from a live standpoint. If we mute that lead vocal. Now, everything I'm doing is on the computer right now, but I can very easily assign each of these scenes, which is what I have going across horizontally here, to keys on the keyboard. So I can do this to Z straight across the bottom of my QWERTY keyboard. Take that off. So then you have the laptop on stage. Keyboard player can be triggering the loops. I could also set my quantization. Right now it's set to bar, so it's going to lock in perfectly with whatever I do. But I could set this to like a four-bar phrase so that I can have more notice. So if we're vamping the intro a little bit, praise and worship leader gives the cue to go on. Notice that it's sitting there waiting to go on to the next section. I can even get more complicated, and not complicated, that's a bad way to say it, but more intuitive, which is the exact opposite of complicated stand of the day. Yeah. By using a MIDI control surface, trigger finger is you know designed to be like a finger style drum pad machine, but it's also a great way to trigger in this type of stuff. And it's very simple to do within Live. I just select the MIDI. It's going to pull up this window, which is going to ask me to set the remote control, which I'm going to do with the trigger finger. And then I can just, anything that's blue right now, I can set it to a pad on the trigger finger. So if I go here and let's just set that, and go down, hit this pad, hit this pad, hit this pad, hit this pad. Let's do a couple of other things. Let's do master volume to a fader here. Picking out my controller for some reason. So now.
You're the one who holds all mysteries, the giver of all dreams, and when all is overwhelming, you promise peace. So I put my trust in you.
Trigger finger can very easily be a MIDI foot pedal if you're a guitar player and you want to trigger it from there. But it incorporates it so that you're not a slave to any sequences that you're doing. It's a really easy way if you're working within Pro Tools and tracking this stuff and producing this stuff to bring some of that area of production over into the actual live performance of the praise and worship setting. And then let's see, what do we got? Five more minutes? Let's pull up another live set and we'll just actually start from scratch and I'll show you how intuitive Live is just working from the very, very beginning. So same thing here, we're going to do four audio tracks and I'm going to have four MIDI tracks set up here. I'm going to go right away to a loop and just drag a loop in just as a time reference. I'm going to be working out of this view. Now, I could be recording in a linear view, but since I'm just kind of trying to put together some basic ideas for a little groove to work here, I'm going to work out of this window. So let's pull up just Shaker. Shaker is safe. We thought a Shaker was safe. Let's find a nice... Yeah, okay, we can look at it. So let's pull that over here, pull the volume down. Set the symbol to 140. That's actually half good. So what I did really, really, really easily was just, you know, I had a shaker part that was recorded at, 112, and I'm at a tempo of 140, so it's making it go into 140, but I actually want a halftime feel to it, so I just half it, and this is the beauty of Live, is just making pre-recorded audio work for you exactly how you want it to work for you. So, now, while that's going here, I'm going to go to my MIDI track and I'm going to pull up drum and bass rig. Very easily, just go into my plugin window here, drag and drop drum and bass in a MIDI, empty MIDI channel. I'm going to record a bass line.
So I try to change the algorithm on the speaker.
It's better off on beat.
Really?
There you go. A lot of the messing with the algorithm and the warp markers and things like that to smooth out the transients, sort of. Sometimes trial and error. Sometimes there's you get to expect certain things to happen. But with that, I just went to the beat algorithm because it's obviously a non-pitched instrument. And then because I changed the subdivision to 16th notes to 8th notes, I just thought, well, I'll move the transients to 8th notes and see if that helps. And it obviously did. So we're in good shape there. So let's go to the drum and bass and just lay down a bass part here. I'm going to take this and record last one. I really, really, really like the drum and bass rig and the key rig because I think there's some really good sounds out of the box that are pretty darn fat in the way that they sound. Okay. So I'll just arm this MIDI track to record. Is that the first occasion of it was not so hot, but hopefully the second turnaround of it was. Second one, the only thing that was wrong with that is I anticipated the phrase a little bit going into it, so I need to actually physically fix that by taking 13. The MIDI edits on live is really simple. Again, everything is done in the single window. So I'm just going to take this, and this is the note that needs to be moved over. So I'm going to just go right there, maybe shorten that note up just a hair, and go 13. And actually, let's see what I need to do over here.
A little bit from the SD instruments and
So let's try this here. What I did is I basically just eliminated the first half of my performance because it wasn't played in well. And rather than re-record it, I took the second half of the performance because it's basically the same thing over again. And hopefully this will work out to loop. It's so nice, so refreshing to have like a stock bass guitar out of a soft synth that's just like so fat in your face. Most of the time you have to like compress the heck out of it to like boost the low, and I really dig that about like the organs on the key rig. And the bass guitar and the drum and bass rig are just great to have.
Yeah.
They are processor hogs, so I'll let the, you know. but everything is processing. Cool. So now I'm going to utilize the trigger finger, and I'm sorry, I only brought one USB cable. That's why I'm switching back and forth ferociously between the pro keys and the trigger finger. But if you have two USB cables, then you won't have to do it. I'm going to use the trigger finger and utilize the drum and bass rig to trigger the drum samples off the drum and bass rig. The trigger finger to trigger the drum and bass rig. So again, I set up another MIDI track here. I don't need to do another drum and bass rig because I already have it set up here. The only thing that I need to do is enable the. Thank you, Elliot. No, Elliot, a Sizzler dinner tonight. Sizzler and Red Lobster, all together. So I'm on MIDI channel 3 here. Both the rigs send out multiple channels, so I just can set up a channel here and receive it from everything and turn this on. And then the output is going to be to MIDI 6, and I'm going to do this to MIDI channel 3. So now I should be up and running here. Now I have my general MIDI drum kit like model mapped out how I want to do it. And it's really super simple to do it. I did it last night actually. I use Enigma to map out my trigger finger. Enigma works with basically all of our newer MIDI controller type of things, and it's a virtual way of like just dragging and dropping things onto parameters. And you can see here I have set up my own template that I can upload to the unit at any time because it's on software. And I have the first preset, which is drum and bass. And basically what I did here is I just went to my MIDI notes and dragged and dropped MIDI notes right on the pad, on the note. So I can go to any one of these pads, and you can very easily see that this one is assigned to C1, so that's my kick. And then I have E1 and D1 assigned to the two adjacent pads, so I can do snare flams. And then you just save it, and then you just really, all you do is just hit upload, and it takes a split second to upload to the unit. And now preset 1 of my trigger finger will be my template that I have mapped out for the drum and bass. Now you can have, it works like an iTunes playlist, so you can have unlimited banks of 16 presets, and you can see here by the libraries on the sides that it's everything from, Reason to Native Instruments stuff to General MIDI stuff to, there's so many parameters. Like if I want to map out a redrum template, then I could go to Reason and find my redrum. And check it out. I have every single parameter in redrum here that I can just drag and drop over knobs and faders. It's so wicked cool. And not only that, but like, you know, with the, you know, the actual pads and the editing, you notice that I have like most significant bit and least significant bit parameters, on and off velocity, whether I want the velocity to be which curve or if I want it to be full, I can set individual MIDI channels going for individual. You can do so much like advanced programming via a single window that just can upload. I feel about Enigma the way that Elliot feels about Beat Detective.
It simplifies things so much.
And B. Arthur. Golden Girls, sorry. Bad reference. I'm sorry. Okay, so let's go here. let's raise my level here on my drum set a little bit. I'm going to change the velocity curve a little bit to...
you don't want the thing to fall off the stand.
They're actually redoing... They're doing a new mount for this because right now it's a little bit unstable, so it's going to be a more braced mount, so if you wanted to perform it on a mic stand, then you could. So I think we just need to raise the level of this. I'm out of time. Okay, let me just record my really bad finger drum track. See you guys. I'll be done with it. You ready for me to rock this?
Lay it down like Neil Peart.
Why would I get any sound, man?
Oh, your channel in Ableton is down pretty low.
This right here?
Yeah. That's probably also where your bass is coming in, right?
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull up that bass and lower the sound. Man, that bass is just like... That's a prelude of what's to come right there.
Brace yourselves.
I worked on a fill last night. I won't be able to do it, but here we go. It went like this. That's right. So, anyway, I know we're out of time, but, like, I love Ableton from the aspect of, like, just starting from scratch, starting an idea from scratch, like, having an idea for a chorus and just working out, like, just being able to work out the different parts in the chorus and drag in loops and add in MIDI tracks. It's so quick for me. I've got it down just so where if I have that moment of inspiration, a moment of an idea, that I can at least get a section of the song, like, within 30 minutes. And a lot of times, in my life right now, having a full-time job, you know, being married and all of those things, which I'm sure that we all relate to, 30 minutes is sometimes all I have to actually work an idea out. So I rely on Ableton quite a bit. And I think when you take it, you know, with Pro Tools and the Pro Tools solution of, you know, everything that Pro Tools has to offer and everything that Live has to offer, it's a pretty wicked combination between the two. Does anybody have any questions over Pro Keys or the trigger finger or Pro Tools or Live or anything? Life?
The light version that comes with the unbox, what's Live about it?
Live Light?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the versions, and they're all kind of a little bit variation, like the version of Live that comes with the Digi software, or Digi hardware, the version of Live that comes with the black box, they all have a little bit of variations, but for the most part, what you get is four tracks of audio that's set, mm-hmm. So you can do basically four tracks stacked on top of each other, and you have two tracks of MIDI that's available to you. You have all of the time compression and expansion capabilities within it, which is why that's why it's attached with the Digi stuff, is because, you know, it's light on the multi-track part of it, but it has that, gives you that capability as far as stretching and compressing audio and changing the tempo and all of that stuff. Other limitations is they don't have as many plugins native. I think native in Live 4, you have over 20 plugins that you can use. I think there's four of them that you have in the light version.
Right. There's going to be new ones in the 5. And anybody who buys 4, like as of now, as of June 1st, anybody who buys a copy of 4 will get a